Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, October 12th, 2014. You're listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening live from Washington. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Amongst our top stories this evening, six Zimbabwean professionals who arrived in Washington last week are now on placement at high-ranking American firms as part of a four-and-a-half-week professional business exchange program organized by the U.S. State Department.
It's six to bring in professionals from all over the world to come and have internships at American institutions, interact with them. The goal is being one to learn and get educated on best practices.
Some self-employed business people in the country, especially those in the catering business, say they are losing lucrative business deals after failing to meet their orders due to the increased ZESA power outages.
If ZESA can do something, please, they introduce prepaid meters. We pay in advance for the services, and there's nothing. We're not getting the service. We don't owe ZESA anything. We're actually buying our electricity in advance. And what do we get? No electricity.
The International Cricket Council last week slapped a ban on Zimbabwe's Prosper Utseya for illegally bowling actions. But cricket analysts fear the move would further disadvantage the local cricket team that has not been performing well.
Well, I think it's quite a great disappointment. It proved to be one of the top cricketers, top bowlers, and it's very unfortunate that this has happened.
And as usual, we give you the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo. Six Zimbabwean professionals who arrived in Washington last week are now on placement at high-ranking American firms as part of a four-and-a-half-week professional business exchange program organized by the U.S. State Department. One of the fellows, Samuel Dimairo, who is the co-founder of Chengetedzai Depository Company Limited in Zimbabwe, says he hopes to use the experience he will gain in the United States to globalize his business on return to Zimbabwe. We spoke to Dimairo on the issue.
This program is part of the exchange program called Professional Fellows by the U.S. Department of State, and it seeks to bring in professionals from all over the world to come and have internships at American institutions, interact with them. The goal is being one to learn and get educated on best practices, and also to network with like-minded people. And after this program, to also go back into local communities and teach them about the various aspects and things we've learned, so that our communities can also benefit from the experiences we've had here.
How long are you in the United States for?
Okay, we're in the United States for a period of 4.5 weeks, and we're starting in Washington. Then some of us will go to North Carolina, and the others will go to Denver, Colorado, over the next 3 weeks, and then we come back for a roundup session in Washington just to share notes on the experiences of what we've learned throughout the program.
What's your impression so far? What do you think you'll be able to take away to Zimbabwe to enhance the line of business that you're in?
Okay, what I think I'll be able to take back to Zimbabwe is to basically look at developing solutions in a global context, because I think one thing that we've liked as Africans is that we live in our local communities and we feel that if we do something in our own environment, it's enough. But I think with globalization and many companies crossing borders, it's important to develop globally competitive solutions. And I think when we're back, that's something that we're going to heavily emphasize.
That was Zimbabwean businessman and professional fellow Samuel Dimairo in Washington. The ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo says plans for his party's congress to be held in December are on course, despite the alleged factionalism rocking his party. Studio 7's Junga Kandemiri speaks to Mr. Gumbo on the issue.
Instead, we meet as a national coordinating committee of congress every Wednesday we made this. Last Wednesday we are made. This will continue until the Congress day. The program of the party is on course. We announce what measures have been taken and what sort of things we need to do. This will come out in the next side, National Coordinating Committee, thereafter, and also the Politburo.
You once said that you were going to come up with rules and regulations that will guide the party through the Congress. When are you going to produce this?
Indeed, we did indicate that we will come out with rules and regulations. We are still working on them. We are still get some more information as to what we really want to do. But once we complete the exercise, we'll announce it accordingly.
That was ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo speaking with Jonga Kandemiri. Some self-employed people in the country, especially those in the catering business, say they are losing lucrative deals after failing to meet their orders due to the increased ZESA power outages. Liz Mahere, a small-scale caterer, says she is upset with ZESA for failing to inform her and other business people on when they schedule to have the power cuts. ZESA was not available to comment on the issue. We spoke to Ms. Mahere on the issue.
It's just terrible. For instance, where I stay, electricity goes 5 in the morning before we get up. It comes maybe 8, 9 in the evening. Some of us guys, we don't have money. We cannot afford generators. One, the food in the freezer, in the fridge, they go bad. Two, communication, because we need to charge our mobile phones. Like most Zimbabweans, as you know, are not working. We've got to do deals and all that. And communication is the most important thing. That I'm actually frustrated with the phone, just the communication one. Two, if you happen to have electricity in the morning, make sure 11 o'clock it's gone. If you're lucky, it comes back maybe 6 o'clock. Just for an hour, 7 o'clock it's gone. Especially our area, it goes twice a day.
Do you ever get any advance warning from ZESA about the load shedding?
If they can explain to us and tell us when the load shedding is, like if they can just do like timetable so that we know, we plan our things. This is actually frustrating, especially in our area. I don't know other areas. If ZESA can do something, please. They introduce prepaid meters. We pay in advance for the services. And there's nothing. We're not getting the service. We don't owe ZESA anything. We're actually buying our electricity in advance. And what do we get? No electricity.
You run your own business from home. How is this power load shedding affecting you personally?
My food, because I'm into catering industry. I'm into food industry. My food, it's affecting my food because I use electricity for cooking most of the stuff. For me to get firewood, it's expensive. By the end of the day, the returns, they're zero. So basically, like now, I'm actually canceling my orders. If I get up, there's no electricity. I just have to cancel my orders because I won't be able to meet the demand.
That was caterer Lizzie Mahere in Harare. This is Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. We are going out to you on the 4930, 4940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies and on the 909 medium wave or AM frequency. And now we go to Satenda Gumbo with the Youth Forum.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues. And today, I am happy to have some in-studio guests. That is the founder of the Global Youth Foundation Zimbabwe, Stephen Wunganai. Stephen, thank you so much for joining
me. Thank you, Tatsindo. We are very happy to be here today.
Thank you. And I also have Takuzwa Magaya, who is the Human Rights Officer for the Global Youth Foundation Zimbabwe.
Thanks, Tatinda. Thanks for inviting us.
Thank you. So, Stephen, I'm going to start off with you. You founded your organization. Tell me more about what it's about and what's your impact with the youth in Zimbabwe.
The main thing that actually made me to start an organization is just the situation and the lack of involvement of youth, both in government and also in at developmental level. So one of the things that actually drove me in establishing this foundation was to give the youth a platform for them to be heard, a platform for them to be seen establishing things that is contributing to the development of both community from grassroots level to top level as well.
And Takudzwa, you are based in Harare. What exactly are some of the things that you are doing on the ground?
Yeah, basically for me, I will be educating and giving them information mainly on the human rights, because basically in Zimbabwe, most of the youth, basically they don't know their rights, and basically to implicate them, mostly many of them, they are scared. That's the problem.
Stephen, you know, Zimbabwe, of course, youth is an open amount.
Definitely.
So when you say, you know, young people, for you, who are you working with exactly?
Zimbabwe's constitution's definition of youth from 18 to 35. But I made a personal trip to Scotland 2 months ago. Then I've seen that they are establishing their youth definition from the age of 16. So we actually changed that from 16 to 30.
And how has that changed your target and what you're doing with
them? It has actually changed us, because during that time when I visited Scotland, I saw it that the youth 17 and 16 were given the chance to vote towards the contribution of the political situation in Scotland. So it actually inspired me that in Zimbabwe, we don't have such platforms because the decisions that we make as adults or as youth are mostly affecting the youngsters.
Takudzwa, you know, Stephen is talking about bringing in young people who are 16 and 17. Are they showing you that they're interested in what their rights are?
Yeah, from my own point of assessing, definitely they are showing the interest, and definitely I think the fear, I think it's getting out of them. Definitely, I think when we continue with the process, definitely we'll reach them.
Mm-hmm. And also, are many of them worried about the situation in Zimbabwe in terms of economy, in terms of politics?
Yeah, definitely. Most of the youth are definitely worried about the future of our nation.
Stephen, your organization is doing a lot of programs and projects, but what are some of the exact issues that you are trying to target?
We are trying to target governance, local governance, to give the power to the youth, mostly to decide each and every decision that is affecting the communities, starting from grassroots level.
And when you say governance, is it targeting, you know, your local councils? Is it targeting, you know, government officials? What exactly are you looking to key in on?
Mostly starting from local governance, or even from high schools, we're actually teaching them that you really need to be seen and you really need to be heard.
And of course, you're here, Takudzwa in Washington, D.C., and Stephen also. You were attending IMF and World Bank meetings, and there was a youth summit that occurred. What are your takeaways from that?
Basically, we were inspired because the theme there was to encourage the youth mainly to be involved in policy making, decision making, and basically to be heard.
And Stephen?
We rarely come across such international platforms. The youth organizations from Zimbabwe are not really given that platform to be heard on an international level. And one of the things I'm quite impressed is the network that we managed to cultivate from there. And I think from there, we would actually approach our stakeholders, approach the youth organization, and really and strongly form a youth coalition in addressing the challenges that the Zimbabwean youth are facing.
So Stephen, you're based in New York.
Yes.
And Takudzwa, you're based in Harare. When you talk about issues of youth, do you bring in a different perspective, being that you're here? Are you able to implement, you know, those things on the ground directly? Stephen, I'll start with you.
I think it's definitely implementable, considering what back home we have been told about the West and how the way they operate. But I managed to take a leave. It's a platform that has come of age in giving the youth their voice. And it's something that in Zimbabwe we are lurking. So for me, having that exposure, for me, having that experience, it actually motivated me in establishing this foundation, in bringing about change in Zimbabwe.
And Takudzwa, do you see that connection?
Yeah, I think you can implement it, basically, because the information that the youth in Zimbabwe get and the information that I get from here, definitely it's different. But from what I gained here, I will definitely implement it back home.
And, you know, people always say that now, even more than ever, youth are connected.
Yeah, definitely. It's one of the things that we actually managed to highlight at the World Bank Youth Summit, that using the social tools as well, it's It's one of the effective and fastest way of bringing about change.
Stephen Takudzwa, a great pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me on the Youth Forum.
Thank you, Tatenda, for inviting us.
That was Stephen Wunganai and Takudzwa Magaya joining me in studio here at the Youth Forum. Thank you so much for taking a moment to listen, and make sure you join me next Sunday. This is Tatenda Gumbo.
Thank you, Tatenda Gumbo, for that inspiring discussion for the youth.
I am Rice Kagona, founder and band leader of the Bundu Boys. And you are listening to Studio 7.
That was the Bundu Boys, just to light up our Sunday evening. And now in sports news, the International Cricket Council last week slapped a ban on Zimbabwe. In sports news, the International Cricket Council last week slapped a ban on Zimbabwe cricket batsman Prosper Utseya for illegal bowling actions, but cricket analysts fear the move will further disadvantage the local team, which has not been performing well. Cricket commentator Muzuwetu Hadebe tells us more on the issue.
Well, I think it's quite a great disappointment. Obviously, it proved to be one of the top cricketers, one of the top bowlers, and it's very unfortunate that this has happened. And one can only hope that he can try to recoup and recover from this so that we see him coming back to play cricket and to play for Zimbabwe, having played quite a number of games for Zimbabwe. It's important that he comes back to the game. It's quite a big blow for Zimbabwe, and no doubt it will affect the Zimbabwe team.
How long is the ban, and what does he have to do to get back to playing cricket again?
It's quite a lengthy one. And what is needed now is for him to apply in terms of being reassessed so that he can come back into the game. It will be like more of a re-up for him. But I think what is also important is our training methods when we bring these youngsters through as youngsters coming into the cricket. It is important that we give them the right training.
That was a cricket commentator Muzuwetu Hadebe in Bulawayo. This is Studio 7 for Zimbabwe, coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington. And now to recap on today's top stories. Six Zimbabwean professionals who arrived in Washington last week are now on placement at high-ranking American firms as part of a four-and-a-half-week professional business exchange program organized by the U.S. State Department. Some self-employed business people in the country, especially those in catering, say they are losing lucrative deals after failing to meet their orders due to the increased ZESA power cuts. That was the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, October the 12th, 2014. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.